Would you pray with me? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with your commandments and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. Last week we reviewed the words of God to Abraham, lech lecha. Say that with me, lech lecha. Get yourself up, get yourself out. And we learned something, that some promises from God come with a lech lecha. Sometimes God wants to give us great blessings, but they require that we get up and we leave. And I want to talk to you about what happens when you leave. When you leave in response to the call of God, as Abraham and Sarah did, it will create, excuse me, I've got a little something in my throat. It will create an empty place in your life. And we have to be very careful what we do with that empty place, how we handle it. And we can look at Abraham and Sarah to learn something about how to deal with empty places that are created in our response of obedience to God's word to us. Now, there are lots of leavings that we can experience that have nothing to do with God. And we're not really talking about those this morning. We're talking primarily about the time God is making promises to us, and it requires that we leave and move forward and do something. And many of you can identify with this. A number of you know very clearly already what this emptiness can be like, but I want to describe it to you, because for Abraham and Sarah, it was very concrete. When God said to them what they would have to leave, he was pinpointing the empty places that would be created in their life. And he told them that they would have to leave family. And you know, that creates an empty place in your life. And then he said, you're going to have to leave your land, your homeland. And even if you just move from a city that you've lived in for a while to a whole other city, it creates an empty place. And he said, you're going to have to leave your people. When you leave the comforts of your ethnic enclave, if you're Gentile and you come into a Jewish group, or let's say you're Jewish and you have lived in an enclave where living faith hasn't been expressed, you move into another group, there's an emptiness that's created. And it was this way for Abraham, it was this way for Sarah, but it's really important to understand they left for a purpose. They were not being chased out of town. They were not leaving because of some failure in their lives. They were leaving in obedience. God said to them, lech lecha, get yourself up, get yourself out, and I am going to show you the land. But there was more than that. God had a plan for them. He made promises to Abraham. Abraham was old. How old was he? Do you remember? He was old. That's right. A lot of different opinions here. Read the Bible. You'll find out. You'll find out that he was very old. God had a plan for Abraham and Sarah, even though they were old, even though they were past childbearing years, even though they had functioned for a long time without the expectation of change and blessing in their lives. Something that God initiated not only required them leaving, but it required them receiving. There's a leaving and there's a receiving that go together. And I want you to pay attention to how hard it was for Abraham and Sarah. You know, sometimes you read the Bible so fast, it all just seems like a blur. God spoke, it happened, hallelujah, that was good. But for the people who were going through the experience, it wasn't like that. Often things take time. They can take years. They can take decades sometimes to be fulfilled. But God moves in his own timing, in his own way, and he fulfills what he wants to do. Now, God allows us to make that leaving in order to create a specific empty place for us that is designed to be filled with what he wants to fill it with. And in this, we have to be very careful. God wanted Abraham and Sarah to leave their land so he could give them another land. And I love what Hebrews tells us about them. 11:15 in Hebrews, it says, if Sarah and Abraham had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. You see, God wanted their hearts to be filled with a desire for a new land. What land? The land he was going to give them. And if they wanted to go back to the old land, they could have had the opportunity. And that tells us how we have to manage our own desires and our own feelings about those empty places. Whenever the empty place is created in our lives and in our hearts, we will want to go back and try to get the very thing that we left behind. And that's not what we're to do. We're to let the Lord give to us what will fill that place. Not only did God promise to Abraham and Sarah a new land, he promised to them children. Children. But not just children, grandchildren. Not just grandchildren, but generation after generation after generation, unending generations of children. The fact that you and I are here today is evidence that God fulfilled what he promised to them. And we declare, even to this day as the Jewish people, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who promised to them is the one who we worship. It's important to understand the apostles thought the same thing. Yeshua taught the same thing. They were explicit. I love this. Acts 3:13. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant, Yeshua. And listen to this. This is so great. Let me see if I can find where it came from. I can't, because I'm not going through the right parts of my notes in the right order, and I'm okay with that. I hope you are. Okay, so those of you who can find it, you will. God said to Abraham, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. That's from Hebrews 11, isn't it? Okay, good. Got it. But you know what? There was a time when Yeshua, this is funny for me, I'll tell you why. I had all these extra notes, and I said, I will never have time to get to any of these. And so I left them at home. And actually, that's where I'm starting. The joke's on me. There was a time when Yeshua said that God is the God of the living. And you know what his proof was? He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You see, God is the God of the living because he gives eternal life. He raises the dead. The proof is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That they live by faith, and God gave all of the promises of faith for eternal life to them. You see, God knows how to create an empty place and then how to fill it. And you and I have to be so careful not to try to fill it with other stuff. Because an empty place, whatever it is painful, isn't it true? Everyone who's had children leave home, even for good reasons. Could you just wave at me? You know, they went away to school. They got married. Those are good reasons, aren't they? But doesn't it create an empty place? Every time there's an empty place, there will be a temptation. I'm going to fill that empty place myself. Now we read in the Torah portion last week and this week that we have a vulnerability. The vulnerability is this, that we want to hurry things along when there's an empty place. When especially we've got a promise and we've got the pain of an empty place, and so we figure out what we can do to fill the empty place ourselves. Ishmael is the example. If you can think of all the tsuris, all the heartache that has come to the people Israel through Ishmael, how many of you would say it's a lot? It's a lot. So all that heartache, that gives you some idea of the measure of emptiness that Abraham and Sarah were feeling at the time. They had pain because they had a promise and they had no fulfillment of that promise. And they figured out how to fulfill it on their own. Have you ever done that? You say, God, you are so slow. God, you already said you were going to do this and it hasn't happened. What's wrong with you? I pray with people. I know what they say. Most people will not pray in front of me like this, but when they're counseling, they tell me the truth. And I understand the things that happen in our hearts. We all do it. I'm not just talking about other people. I'm talking about me. But I am talking about you too. Just in case. Yeah, because some of you say, that rabbi, you know, he just needs to grow up and get his faith stronger. And I'm telling you the truth about myself, but it's also true about you. It's true about all of us that we can try to take things into our own hands and try to accomplish things on our own that God wants to do for us and will do for us. And sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we take things into our own hands and we end up with an Ishmael ourselves. And what are we going to do? For many people, when they get their Ishmael, they give up. They beat themselves up. They hate themselves. And they figure, you know what? God hates me too. I messed up. It's my fault. I'm on my own. And that becomes, for some people, the beginning of the end of their walk of faith. And yet, the story of Abraham and Sarah tells us that is not the end of the matter. They did mess up. Can you agree Ishmael was a mistake? He was a mistake. But God is the God of redemption, and he takes our mistakes, and he works with us if we're repentant. And if we humble ourselves, if we don't try to put shine on it and spin on it. We live in an age where everyone wants to make things shiny and glossy and spin in the direction they want things spun. But when you're praying to God, just tell him the truth. Just say, I messed up. Big time. Help. So Abraham and Sarah give us a path, an example of the life of faith, the very human side, because even though they got Ishmael, they kept pressing into God. And you know what? God came down on his own accord, on his own initiative from heaven to meet with them, to tell them something. Your son Isaac's coming, this time next year. You see, it wasn't over for them. God knew how to work with Abraham and Sarah, and their resilience teaches us something. When you have a promise from God in an empty place and you try to fill it on your own and you mess up, go back to God. Tell him the truth and ask for his help and see if you can get back on track, because you will be surprised. God will pick you up when you fall, if you press into him. Abraham and Sarah received Isaac, and in Isaac the covenant was reckoned. Specifically, it was not just Isaac, it was Isaac and Jacob, but not just Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the sons and daughters of Israel. Now, the promises that God makes to you that require leaving, and that create emptiness for you. You have to manage if you want to be a disciple. You have to manage not by taking matters into your own hands, but protecting your heart. And it will require discernment, it will require wisdom, and it will require character. Because there is a human desire to fill up the empty place on our own. Let me give examples of how people try to fill up their empty places on their own. They got a promise from God, you're going to get married. And so instead of waiting patiently for a good spouse, they take the next person. They allow loneliness to drive everything. And so there's presumptuous marriage. The marriage of two people who really aren't being joined together by God, but by loneliness or hurry or something. And then, can I talk honestly about other things that people use to fill up these empty places? Premarital sex is one. And extramarital sex is another. People use premarital and extramarital sex to fill up empty places in their life. And not only sex, people use alcohol and drugs to fill up the empty places. Isn't it true? Now, when you understand this, you don't sit in judgment of people. You take God's attitude of redemption towards them. God wants to heal them and bring them out. So you don't wag your finger and say, you're lousy, I don't want you in my life. That's the easy thing to do, isn't it? It's easier to write people off than it is to participate in their redemption. But God's called us to exercise and practice the ministry of reconciliation. And that's a redemptive ministry. And it comes at a price. Now, there's another way that people fill emptiness in their lives. Food. All the Jews and all the Italians understand this. Right? Does anybody else understand this? Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes it's not that we're hungry, it's that we got a little empty place. You know what's a warning sign for me? I go through, you know, like too many hours of stress, and my mind begins to think of a dessert. I'm so far beyond chocolate at that moment. Chocolate would be moderation. But I start thinking of what am I going to eat that's going to make me feel good. And almost all of them are dangerous. And that's an early warning sign. And sometimes we just eat. I had a friend, he so much wanted to be married. And he had some heartache in the process, couldn't find the right person. The right person couldn't find him. And one day, he'd put on enough weight that, you know, he was thinking, what is going on? And he said to me, I found out what I was doing. I'm now dating food. But some people try to fill the empty places with work. Workaholics. People have empty places in their lives. They just, you know, they overdo it at work. You name it. A lot of things can be used. But God allows you to have these empty places so that he can fill them his way with what he's promised to you. And power will come to you if you hold on to God and his promises. If you consider him faithful like Abraham and Sarah did. And that the one who made the promise will actually fulfill the promise. It is so important to take note of your promises, to write them down, to rehearse them in prayer, to speak of them in the morning when you're rising, when you're walking along the way, to talk to God about the promises, not in order to press him onto your timetable, but in order to participate in saying yes to him. He's looking for people who will say amen to him. That's why he wants you to abide in him and let his word abide in you, so that you can ask like this and it will be done for you. God will do amazing things this way. Now let me give another example of leaving in empty places that's a little bit different from Abraham and Sarah. It's the story of the prodigal son. And how many of you are familiar with that story that Yeshua told? If you're not familiar, you can look it up in your Bible and read it. The prodigal son left his father. And when he left his father, he went to a far country and he struck out on his own. He took his inheritance early. I love one of the insights that my wife has had about this. This young man not only wanted his inheritance early, he thought that all that he would ever get from his father was known at that moment. He didn't realize his father was going to keep going in life. And so he disconnected from his father. He moved away, and he actually just wanted to get away. And it created an empty place in the life of his dad. Now, some of you parents know about this. You know the emptiness that happens when kids move away, not in faith. That creates one kind of emptiness. But when they move away from you and from the Lord, in rejection of God and rejection of you, you know what that feels like. Well, what the young man did not know is that when he left, it created an empty place in him. And all the things that he thought would fill up his life, the way he was going to spend his money, the carousing, the things he was going to enjoy, he thought, this is going to give me satisfaction. But they were all counterfeits. And one day, he realized that he was empty. And you know the first part that told him he was empty? His stomach. Because he didn't have anything to eat that was worthwhile. And he then realized his life was empty, his lifestyle was empty, and he understood, perhaps for the first time, what would fill that emptiness. And it was to go home and to return to his father. And so he set out on a journey in order to be reunited with his dad, even if he had to humble himself and live like the slaves lived in that house. Well, the father had an empty place too. And because the way the son left and the reasons why he left, it ripped a place out of his heart. And it left him with some emptiness. He still had a life. And he had an older son who was still with him, but there was something missing in his life. And to his credit, let me single him out as an example of a man of faith, even though it's a parable, it's a story. This man did not want to fill the emptiness that he had with anything but his son. And so he allowed himself to feel the pain and to not try to get comfort some other way. But with the pain, there was something else. There was hope. And there was a promise from God that was at work in him. And that's why the father would keep looking for the son, keep praying for the son to return. Sometimes when we get that emptiness because of such leaving and such rejection, we stop praying, we stop hoping, we stop believing that God is going to work. Because we think that this person who brought us pain, that's all they're going to do. But God knows how to bring them, how to turn them around. Well, that father loved his son. He loved his son who left and his son who stayed. But he had the son who stayed, and he didn't have the son who left. And he yearned for that son. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You have children in your life, family in your life that's gone away in the wrong way. And you're yearning for their return. But when that son came back, the empty place was filled again in the father's heart. And he was rejoicing. He was glad. He received the son back as if it were life from the dead. He had the same kind of joy that Jacob had when he discovered that Joseph was still alive. It meant everything to him. The son left, not because of promises, but because of counterfeits. But the son came back because of the real thing, real understanding. Some of you are in the position of the father. You're waiting for someone to return. Some of us are in the position of Abraham and Sarah. God's made a promise. We've responded to his lech lecha. He said, get yourself up, get yourself out. You got yourself up, you got yourself out, and now you're waiting, but you have that emptiness. And I want to speak to you from the words of Yeshua. Three times Yeshua spoke about this. The first one that I want to point you to is Mark 10, verse 28. If I remember right, a rich young man had come to Yeshua wanting to know what it would take for him to move forward with God and God's kingdom. And Yeshua said to him a very specific word, sell everything you have. And the guy thought, I've got way too much. And he didn't do it. He walked away. And you know what? Yeshua didn't chase him. Yeshua didn't say, you know what? I've got a deal for you today, 10% off. Or how about half of what you have? He let him go. Mark 10:28. Peter begins to speak to Yeshua and he says, look, Yeshua, we have left everything and we have followed you. And Yeshua said, let me tell you the truth. There is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this lifetime. Houses, say that with me. Houses and brothers. Let me hear you. And sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions. Yeah, that one was harder, wasn't it? And persecutions and trouble. And in the age to come, eternal life. Matthew 19:29. Yeshua said, everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake, say that with me, for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. He's talking about the leaving for God's sake. God's making a promise. He'll restore to you in every way and beyond if you have to leave anything for his sake. Luke 18:29. I tell you the truth, Yeshua said to them, no one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age and in the age to come. They will receive eternal life. Now, whenever I talk like this, I always have to add a footnote for some people. There's always somebody listening who's saying, oh, thank goodness this gives me just what I need so I can finally leave that good-for-nothing husband of mine. Or wife. I'm not talking about that kind of leaving. Neither is Yeshua. He's talking about when we leave what's dear to us. Not what's worthless, but what's dear to us for his sake, for the sake of the kingdom, for the promises that he's making that require the leaving. That's where the restoration and the reward comes. So you people who are sick of your spouses, just repent. Try to start over again with God. Learn to sow into your relationship. Sow by being nice to each other. I'll give you a quick remedy for bad relationships. Start being nice. Isn't that simple? If both of you will start being nice to each other, it'll be amazing. It can make such a difference. It's not easy, but that is a step. Some of us are on the verge of receiving back what we've left, what we've lost. Some of us are on the verge of breakthrough. Last week, our Hebrew words for the week were Paratz Adonai. And there are ways of translating it. Let me give you my best translation for this week. The breakthrough God. Because this is the one whom you serve. The breakthrough God. He's not just the God of the breakthrough. He's the breakthrough God. When he comes, this is how the scriptures describe it. When he breaks through, it's like floodwaters breaking through. Is that not timely? Do you know you can't just stop the floodwaters when they're rising and they're moving up? You can be the mayor of New York, you can't stop them. You can be the president of the United States, you can't stop them. God is the breakthrough God, and when he's breaking through and he decides, I'm pushing through everything, I'm rising up, I'm going to open something up for you, you know what? It will open, and it will stay open. God wants to reveal himself to us in this way. And so I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Do not give up right before the breakthrough. That's the worst time to give up. Just hang in. Hang in, but don't just hang in desperation. That will lead you to a lot of mistakes. Hang in with faith. Trusting God. Dig deep. Clean out the stuff in your soul that resists God and argues with God and cannot trust him. And do what it takes. Fast. Pray. Humble yourself. Get quiet. If you're a noisy person, get quiet. If you're a quiet person, get noisy with God. Break out of the boundaries of your own personality and seek him with all of your heart. And I tell you what, this season of breakthrough will become so powerful in your life as you see the breakthroughs in your life, you hear the breakthroughs in other people's lives, you will become stronger. And you'll get the very things that you're hoping for without the counterfeits and without the tsuras, without the sorrow. I want to just close now by praying for everyone who wants to endure and see the breakthrough in their life. If you're in that, if you know you got a desperate situation, but you're not desperate because you have a God who is able to break through, stand up right now. Stand up. Let me pray with you. I want you to start exercising your faith by agreeing with God. Don't try to convince him. Agree with him. The things that he said he will do, he will do. Lord, you who promise are faithful. You are the one who breaks through. You are our breakthrough God, and you're pushing through. You broke through for Abraham and Sarah. You broke them out of the land. You broke them out of their own mistakes and their own will. And you brought them into your land, and you brought their family into reality and their nation into reality. You established your covenant. You sealed the covenant. And then you renewed it in Yeshua. And you've expanded it so that every one of us who's standing here has been included by faith in you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you are doing. Thank you, Lord, for those who received houses this past week, for those who moved into their new homes. Thank you, Lord, for those who have received jobs, who were waiting for jobs, and they got the job that they were hoping for. Thank you for the money that came out of nowhere. Thank you for the provision. Lord, you say those who wait on you will not be ashamed. They will rise up with the wings of eagles who catch the wind of your spirit and are lifted up high. Thank you, Lord, for your victory. Lord, I pray that you would take the words of faith that have been spoken today during the service, and you would water them, and that you would give us attention. That you would help us turn our attention to taking care of the seed you've sown. That it would grow. That it would spring forth. That it would be well protected, and that it would bring forth the fruit for which it was designed and intended, and that when we see it sprouting and when we see it fruitful, we will rejoice in you. We will honor you, and we will tell others what you have done for us, and we will declare, Parata Adonai, the breakthrough God has done it again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your strength and your power, for renewing our hope. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Corwin and Lisa, would you come up here and stand with me? My dear friends, Corwin and Lisa Marsh from Rochester, New York, stand with me as we prepare to close the service. It's such a joy to be together with them. Oh, you can't imagine. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai p'navelecha v'ichunecha. Yisa Adonai p'navelecha v'yasemlecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Amen. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.